Welcome to part two of my interview with Lavelle Smith Jr. In this episode, we discuss MJ as a dad, MJ as a friend. What kind of dad was he? And what did Michael tell his kids about his fame and fortune? Let's find out. As your work relationship grew, did you guys, your personal relationship grow as well?
Yeah, and I kind of remember all those things, it happened organically. Mm-hmm. And when you're in it, you don't realize it. But I remember one day, there's two things. One day I said to them, oh gosh, man, they really love you, because it's right before show and right before we started, and the audience is going crazy. He's like, turned to me and said, no, Lavelle, they love us. And I thought that was really generous to, mm-hmm. for him to say, because come on, they didn't pay to see Lavelle Smith. They paid to see Michael Jackson. But still, that kindness in his heart just said, no, Lavelle, they love us. And then another time, somehow we're talking about friends or something. I don't know how we got into it, but he said, you know, you're my friend. And then I had, you know, I kind of stepped out of myself and thought, you know, this is, he's right. It's not just a employee-employer situation.
Mm-hmm.
It is friendship. We talked about our fathers, our mothers, our families. You name it. There was no subject we didn't talk about. There was nothing off limit.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's what you do with friends. But at the time it's happening, I never really, you know, you're not thinking about it that way. But yeah, I think I was closer to him than I was to many people that I would call, you know, my best friend.
Right.
Because we spent so much time together. And, you know, you dance a lot when you're creating with him. But there's moments where you're sitting down, you're having sushi, or you're eating some food together, just sitting down talking. Sitting on the floor talking.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and those times, I guess, add up. You share more than you really realize, because it's so easy to talk to him. Yeah.
So what was that like, that realization? Like, I've gone from, you know, we have this work relationship that's great, but we really are our friends. And like you said, it was organic, and it had to be like the aha moment.
It was. You're right, because I'm the kind of person that when I'm in something, sometimes I don't really, you know, see exactly what's happening. I'm living the moment. I'm mm-hmm. not watching myself live it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually living it, and so it might take, you know, might have to take a while for me to realize what it actually was. But him saying that catapulted that reality for me. It's like, okay. You know, you do that thing in your head, like, oh yeah, okay, we talked about this, we've done, yeah, we talked about pretty much everything. So yeah, you know, we are friends. Yeah, but it happens on such, you know, in a way that is so normal and regular, and it's just happening. It's not, you know, it's not one of the things you're conscious of. It's just happening over the years, I was with Mike for 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. And you're not thinking about it, and you're not watching it happen. You're living it, and you're in it.
So yeah. you were with him before he had kids, and then
yeah.
after he had kids, right?
Yes.
So what was that like?
That was awesome. I remember him telling me, Lavelle, you have to do this, meaning have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you pay for it, I'll do it. And of course, he laughed, but I was dead serious. It's very expensive. But I do remember it just really changing him. And just watching him parent was amazing to me. Mm-hmm. I had never thought about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, him being a dad. But seeing it in action was like, wow, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Not sure I could do it, but he's rocking it.
How long had you been with him prior to him having kids?
Oh, gosh, I was with him when, I'm so bad with dates. 1986, I think, was Smooth Criminal.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember the first year of his of friends being born. I don't remember what year that was.
Yeah, I think it was about...
I remember they were very small ones when we were in New York. And we were going outside, and I remember they had to put their mask on, but they were 5 and 6 then, so I'm trying to think. I don't remember their exact birthday, you know, when they were born. but that would be the time, 86 to then. It's a long time.
Also, that's like 10 years, I believe. Cause
it's
I think...
a long time without kids, you know?
Yeah.
But when you see him with kids, it feels like, you know, he's had them forever. You know, it was just such a natural thing. I guess, you know, you always hear people say, oh, yeah, you don't know what to do. There's no book. But when you have them, you automatically know what to do. Or I don't know if that's true, but he made it look like that's true. It was just like a natural thing.
Oh, wow. You know? Yeah, because
yeah, it was pretty awesome to watch that.
Yeah, that it seems like you're like 10 years before, because I think the oldest child was born in 96, I want to say.
Okay, that makes sense.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so you had an established friendship, though.
It was so natural. And like I say, it's something that I never had pictured him doing. So mm-hmm. I think for me, that made it even more amazing. He makes this look easy.
So did that just come out of the blue? Was it like, oh, I'm thinking of having kids, or was it like, I got a baby on the way?
I think I knew he wanted to be a father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think it went any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, I think I wanted to be too.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, yeah, I think we all planned that would, you know, or at least are open to that possibility in mm-hmm. our lives. But it takes more than just wanting to be one. You have to, you know, stop and take that moment to, you know.
To actually do it.
And I'll just always go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a lot of guilt with me dragging a kid around the world until they're, you know, I have to start school at 5 years old.
Right.
And then I'd probably be, I just wouldn't know what to do because I'm not going to want to be with him. So, yeah. I don't know, but he made it work.
He did. So, you say he was a natural parent.
Yeah.
Do you remember one moment where he actually had to, you know, be the parent? You know how now sometimes you hear...
It's so funny, and I hope nobody gets mad at me telling this story, but it's really funny to me. I guess because, you know, parents, you know, when you have a kid, I guess you know what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
All the time.
Right.
Even if they're not, even if you can't see them, you know what they're doing.
Right.
Right. So me and my girl sit on the couch. It was at the house in, I think it was the one in Bel Air, I think, where he passed, I think. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there on the couch having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the kids were around, and he said, well, me and LaVelle are going to, you know, we're going to talk to you guys, I'll do what you're going to do, and I'll see you later. Well, blanket. Snuck back in. I didn't even see it. Obviously, Michael being a dad saw it. He snuck back in and was hiding behind the couch. Me and Michael were sitting talking. Blanket's behind the couch. Blanket, I know you're back there. Get out of here. Quit eavesdropping. I know you're back there. Get out of here. I didn't see him come back in.
Uh-huh.
But you see the little person get up and leave the room. But I was like, oh, damn, how did he know that he was even there? I had no idea. I'm not going to just sit in there talking. And, you know, out of the blue, he's like, blanket, I know you're back there. Get up, get out of here. Stop eavesdropping.
Oh, wow.
And so he got up and left, and I didn't see him come back in. I had no idea. But that was just a funny moment to me. That's like, you know, he's having a meeting with me. We're talking
mm-hmm.
and kind of planning some stuff. And I'm just, you know, we're just doing our natural thing. And then somehow he realized that his child has snuck back into the room somehow
mm-hmm.
and is sitting behind the couch listening to everything we're saying. It was just funny.
And he does the parenting thing. Hold on 1 minute. You can get out now. And you're looking
like, I know you're back there, blanket. Get out. Quit eavesdropping. It was funny.
So it sounds like he was a hands-on parent.
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, every time that I saw him with them, you know, it was him.
Yeah.
I know Grace was always there, you know, but yeah.
Oh, wow. Did being a parent change, I don't want to say his work ethic, but, you know, some things have to take a back seat. Like, that becomes your priority, and some things have to take a back seat. So I guess did that change the way he worked? I'll say it like that.
I don't think so. To me, Michael's always been a guy who is doing like a, you know, has a thousand balls in the air and throwing them all at the same time. You know, dance, music, whatever else he's doing, and he always seemed to be able to do that. So I think this is one more thing that he was able to do. I mean, or very organized. He didn't seem to change anything.
So he kept that go, go, go.
Yeah.
And he just strapped the kids on.
You know, when rehearsal's done, it's done. And yeah, maybe that. But it didn't seem to slow him down or anything like that.
Did you ever spend Christmas with he and the kids?
You ever spend the holiday?
Yeah, the holiday.
No.
Okay.
That would have been interesting.
What about, so we fast forward, he has, he's a dad now, he has these kids, and did he ever have a conversation about, because now you become the dad, so now, I don't know, I just think every parent questions if they're still cool, because now the kids are telling you, Dad, you're not cool. Was that ever, like, the conversation he...
Not that I know, I always got the impression that they love seeing him perform, and I think they really would have loved to see him perform, you know, live. Like, I don't think so. I think they were very, they knew his music, obviously, and his work, but I think they would have loved to see him perform live. So I think that they would probably think that I have a cool dad. My dad can do this.
Right.
You know,
do you think they realized
who... I'm sure they realized how much he changed dance and innovated video and music, so they have to be very proud. But, yeah, I don't think they had one of those don't dance at my party kind of moments with their, you know, with him at all.
Right.
I wouldn't think so.
Do you think they got a sense of how famous he was, or was it just so... Like, did you feel like they just had no clue? They were just kids kind of hanging out.
I don't know. I'm sure they did. But maybe not the way they would now.
Mm-hmm.
But as children, I'm sure they knew that it was different. I'm sure, you know, they probably got... He wanted them probably to have the most normal life possible. But yeah, I don't know. That's a hard question.
Yeah, it's really funny. I saw this documentary about this super wealthy family, and the little boy, during the recession, and so they had to go from doing their private jet to they were first class, but it was on a commercial flight. And so when they got on the airplane, the little boy looks at the mom and he's like, "Mom, why are there people on our plane?"
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he had no clue. He's like, "Why are there people on the plane?" And so sometimes, so I think about you know, Michael's kids, and I'm wondering if they just thought everybody lived like that. Like, that was just, you know, because if you have no frame of reference, it's just...
Have so many questions, and Michael's so good about answering questions that I bet if they had one, he would answer it honestly. So I'm sure they knew that everybody didn't live like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is something that he made quite clear. We're blessed, and everybody does not live like this. You know, this is why I do this, and this is why I do that. This is why I have this charity. This is why I have this foundation, is to help people, because everybody doesn't live like this. And around the world, there are people in need, and this is why. And I'm pretty sure he broke it down just like that.
So he was constantly aware that it was a blessing.
Yeah, definitely.
Now I really understand why Paris, Michael's daughter, proclaimed that he was the best daddy in the world at his funeral. How cute was that story about Blanket, or shall I say BG, his preferred name? Hey, don't forget, there's one more episode, and boy, is it a big one. In the next episode, we discuss the infamous allegations. What were Lavelle's thoughts? Check out his documentary, Man Behind the Dance, at manbehindthedance.com. See you next time. So you can check us out at MJAllDay.thepodcast on Facebook and MJAllDay-thepodcast on Twitter. You can also email me at dthevip@gmail.com. That's dthevip@gmail.com, and tell me all of your MJ stories.
Beneath the Eiffel Tower, in Ghana's Black Star Square, in Johannesburg and in Pittsburgh, in Birmingham, Alabama, and Birmingham, England, we are missing Michael. But we do know that we had him. And we are the world.